WLP 97.3 FM in Eugene, Oregon.
Peaceworks Community Radio.
And we stream at kepw.org.
As community radio, we are all volunteer, and I'm asking you if you could be willing to consider becoming a volunteer. There are several areas: programming, news and public affairs, production, promotion, and fundraising. You can check our website for further details at kepw.org.
Is cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, on mic one. Let's see here. Still haven't fixed mic one. There we go. All right, today, Citizens Climate Lobby had a strategy meeting. They're asking people to call and email their U.S. senators to ask them to support including a price on carbon in the budget reconciliation package that can pass with 51 votes in the Senate. CCL headquarters has come to the conclusion that the senators are thinking about a price on carbon even if they are not talking about it. The reason is that they are talking about a border carbon tariff that would punish countries that do not have global warming policies as strong as the U.S. But such a border carbon tariff would likely not pass muster with the World Trade Organization without a price on carbon, since currently U.S. global warming policy is weaker than that of other countries, such as in the European Union. So that's what today's about a half an hour of that, and I got some other surprises for you. Don't forget, after this show is 80 Grit. He plays some really great punk rock and the origins of punk rock, origin music to punk rock, and some great interviews on 80 Grit at 5. And of course, we have the new Youth Radio Project at 6. That is a great opportunity for youth here that we give and get from the youth, those youths coming up at 6. So I hope you'll tune in for that. So yeah, coming up, Citizens Climate Lobby, we need to tax carbon. I don't care how you do it, but we need to tax carbon and get off fossil fuels and use the money to support people getting off carbon. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. We'll be right back. All right, this is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kpw.org. All right, today is carbon pricing from Citizens Climate Lobby. We're trying to get a tax on carbon. They're one of the main people that are doing it and looks like they might get some success. But first, I have another important issue that I need to discuss with you. Let's see. Sorry, I had that queued up. And yeah, don't forget 80 grit at 5 and Youth Radio Project at 6. Come on, CD player. Okay. Oh, there we go. No. Okay, CD2 is acting up on me. All right, I guess I'm going to have to do this sans music. All right, so there's a scourge sweeping the music world and the airwaves and threatening the very pillars of society. And I'm talking about that rhyme criminal, that earworm manifester, Justin Bieber. I don't care if he gets his weed from California or his peaches from Georgia. I don't care if he gets his coke from Colombia or his oil from Oklahoma. His lyrics are trite, and they're not even sustainable. So something needs to be done about Justin Bieber. You can do something. You can stop Justin Bieber by going to kpw.org and becoming a sustaining member of this station. Please, for God's sakes, stop this guy. He's driving me crazy. And go to kpw.org and become a sustaining member of the station. Okay, so having gotten that off my chest. All right, so let me just reiterate what this is about. Citizens Climate Lobby is asking people to call and email their U.S. senators to ask them to support including a price on carbon in the budget reconciliation package that can pass with 51% votes in the Senate. CCL headquarters has come to the conclusion that the senators are thinking about a price on carbon, even if they're not talking about it. The reason is that they are talking about a border carbon tariff that would punish countries that do not have global warming policies as strong as the U.S., but such a border action tariff, a border carbon tariff, would likely not pass muster with the World Trade Organization without a price on carbon, since currently U.S. global warming policy is weaker than that of other countries such as in the European Union. You can phone people like Oregon Senators Ron Wyden is 202-224-5244. That's 202-224-5244. Or Jeff Merkley at 202-224-3753. And they say that Senator Wyden is more important since he is the chair of the Finance Committee. He's at 202-224-5244. Okay, so here's the meeting of the Citizens Climate Lobby, the strategy meeting, and they're going to tell you, give you some strategies, too, to get a tax on carbon, and that money would be used to subsidize people that are affected by the tariff, namely the poor. So I've done stuff in the past on that. They're talking about they would actually give people, this is where a check, a monthly check or a yearly check would come from, as how to fund this, is a tax on carbon. Because you want a tax, this is a basic concept of capitalism, actually. We're using capitalism, they don't even follow their own rules in capitalism. You tax the things that you want to discourage and use the money to retool, and use that money to retool when you find, you know, we don't use whale oil anymore. We haven't needed to use oil. We should have been off of oil 50 years ago. There's no reason to be on oil.
Given today's news comes due to the more than 10 years of hard work that all of us as UCL volunteers have made possible. As you join today, we are beyond grateful for you, and we are celebrating who keeps each of us in this long game for our climate leadership. With that, welcome to today's special all leaders meeting for the big Senate push, taking action on pricing of carbon in the Senate. Our speaker lineup today is our fearless leaders. We have Mark Reynolds, CCL's executive director, as well as Madeline Pera, CCL's president, and Danny Rector, CCL's vice president of government affairs on the line. And they're going to be reviewing the following agenda: the chance to have an opening remark, legislative landscape, providing a little view into the campaign actions that we're going to overview today, as well as a role play example before we get to Q&A. So if we've done our job well, in the next half an hour, we're going to review the Senate legislative landscape and the context behind why we're talking about it for this campaign. We'll understand how CCL can amplify our asks in both Democratic and Republican Senate offices, and we'll have the chance to call you to action in your communities and with your networks to help ensure a price on carbon is included in the reconciliation package. So with that, I will pass it to you, Mark. Thank you all for being here early, and we look forward to jumping into a wonderful call.
Welcome. Welcome. Thank you, Brett, and welcome everybody to CCL's first ever all leader call. So you might be here because you're a group leader. You might be here because you're a liaison. You might be here because you're an action team leader. You might be here because you're a state coordinator. You might be here because you run the monthly calling campaign. You might be because you're a grassroots engagement leader or a chapter media leader or one of the many other leaders in the organization. This is the first time where we brought all of CCL's leadership together for one call. The reason we're doing that is that there is a moment in front of us. Actually, the moment looks like it's about 3 weeks long, and we want to make sure that we seize that moment. So what's going to be happening is, in just a moment, Dr. Danny Rector is going to go over why this particular moment is so ripe and why we want to jump on it and who's telling us that it's ripe. And then Madeline Pera will go over what we're asking you to do over the next 3 weeks, and then we should have plenty of time for Q&A. So Dr. Rector, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark. And thank you, everybody, for being here, taking some time out on a Tuesday. So what is going on? Why are we having this extraordinary call? Well, here's what's going on. Last week, Senate Democrats announced a $3.5 trillion plan that they would like to put through reconciliation. In this plan, they included a methane fee. They included a carbon border tariff, but they did not include a carbon price. So what happens now? There's actually really no more detail than this, just those headlines. They don't have legislative text beyond these headline numbers. But just yesterday, we did see introduction of text for a border carbon tariff. And so this is an attempt by the Coons, Senator Coons, and Congressman Peters, in the House. They wanted to get some legislative out there to flesh out these ideas. Even so, we're excited to see this. It probably does move the conversation forward. It's probably not going to be compatible with WTO law unless there is a domestic carbon price. So how do all these elements fit together? Well, it seems to me like Democrats are dancing around the carbon price. They have the methane fee, they have the carbon border tariff, they just lack the price. But I really don't think it's any surprise to these Democrats that a carbon border tariff without a domestic carbon price is not going to be compatible with WTO law. They know this. And this means that they're thinking about it. They're thinking about a carbon price and how that might fit in with reconciliation. But because they're not mentioning it, that speaks to me, they don't want the media talking about it. They don't want this discussion to happen in the media. They want it to happen in Congress. And that's where it's time for us to act. We've actually heard from the offices of more than one senator, and actually from the senators themselves, that there is both a window of opportunity to get a carbon price in reconciliation, and that window lasts until September. So we've got about 6 weeks. That means that now is the time to activate. This is what we were built for. This organization was built for moments like this. This is the time when you push all the buttons and when you pull all the levers. how many times have we heard over the years from Congress that Congress will never do this or now is not the time? Well, now the same pessimists are saying that, no, actually, now is the time. Congress might do this, and we just have to respond to that. So the goal we have is to get senators thinking that carbon pricing is popular in their state. We want to have them to have this at the top of their mind and to be able to say, I got hundreds of calls and emails from my constituents saying they wanted this. I have to respond to that kind of impact from my constituents. And I know some of you are thinking, well, my senator is already on a carbon price. We still want you to call and we still want you to write. It will show those supportive senators that you have their back, and they'll get a sense of what all their colleagues are getting from your friends in CCL. Just be sure to add a thank you for their leadership onto that if you're lucky enough to have a senator who already supports a carbon price. So now what do we want specifically for Democratic senators, specifically for Republican senators? Remember, all senators get a report every week from their staff about what they got the most calls or emails about. For the next 3 weeks, for Democratic senators, we want that report to say that the number one thing that your constituents are saying to you is they want a carbon price and reconciliation. That's our goal for Democratic senators. Because let's remember, what we have here, we're just 1 week after the announcement about the agreement for this $3.5 trillion plan. We're just 1 week past this. We are in the middle, we're at the start of this window of opportunity. Opinions are still being formed by the senators about how to do this, and their minds are open. In other words, the iron is never going to be hotter than it is right now. So now's the time to get the biggest hammer we can possibly get our hands on, and we have to strike that iron while it's hot. So that's what we're trying to do with Democrats. For Republicans, we are also going to be calling Republican senators. They're likely not to vote for a reconciliation bill. However, we are hearing that our message from June, that the rest of the developed world is pricing carbon, and they're demanding that American businesses pay that price too with the carbon border adjustment mechanism, we're hearing that that is landing with Republican senators. They don't get to ignore this. And so, in this calling campaign, in this writing campaign, we're going to double down on that message. Other developed countries are demanding accountability of American businesses, and we'd rather you price carbon than have other countries price carbon. Even if, and you might be asking, well, why does this matter if they're not going to be involved in reconciliation? Well, even if they're not going to vote for the final reconciliation bill, they can still be helpful. So, for example, in the first reconciliation package that passed this year, there were Republicans who opposed the final bill, but they helped work through the committee the piece about support for restaurants. And then they actually bragged about that help that they gave to their constituents, even though they voted against the whole bill. So there is a precedent this year of Republican senators being helpful in reconciliation package that they ultimately voted against. So we want to repeat this phenomenon in the next reconciliation on a carbon price, and you can help do that. So now you might be thinking, you've been talking a lot about the Senate. What about the House? Well, this reconciliation discussion, which is causing this window, which is framing this window, this is happening primarily in the Senate, but it will move to the House. And when it moves to the House, we're going to call the House too. So after you set down your phone from calling Congress and then calling your friends and then calling your family, getting them to write and call Congress, don't get too far away from your phone, because we'll be asking you to pick it up again when the moment is right for the House. So that's what we're doing. That's why we're doing it. That's the context we're responding to. And now I'd like to turn it over to Madeline.
Thank you, Danny. Well, let me explain the campaign now. So first I'm going to tell you what headquarters is doing. And then I'll tell you what we want you to do. So Ben Pendergrass and your regional and state coordinators have agreed on a target for every state. And that target is of how many emails and phone calls combined they think will impress the senators of your state, taking into account the state population and our estimate of capacity. So for example, the goal for New Mexico is 100 emails or phone calls. And for California, it's 1,500. Of course, we'll be delighted to exceed those targets. We want this to happen early in the 6-week window that Danny mentioned, so our Senate campaign will cover the first 3 weeks, starting tomorrow and going through August 10th. And then, as Danny said, stay tuned for more to come, probably focused on the House after that. So tomorrow morning, we're going to send out an email to our supporter list, and it's customized to every state and includes that target. And the email will link to a landing page with our write and call tools that are embedded right in the page. So people can email and then call their senators using the online tools right there on the landing page. The short URL for the page, and I've memorized it, if I can, you can, is cclusa.org/Senate. cclusa.org/Senate. So the landing page and the tools on the landing page, they're designed to work on both computers and smartphones. It's going to be really important to send people to use the tools on the landing page so that we can count and report back to everybody on our progress. So as Danny said, Democratic senators will be asked to include a price on carbon in the reconciliation package, and Republican senators will be asked to support a price on carbon to keep American businesses competitive. Over the remaining the 3 weeks of the campaign, headquarters will send more follow-up emails to people who haven't used the tools yet, I think about 3 of those, and it'll report on the progress in their state and again, invite them to email or call their senators. We're also going to send text alerts to the 36,000 people who are signed up for them, and the monthly calling campaign program will use the same calling script and asks. But as I told the state coordinators in an email this weekend, the response rate to emails and texts from headquarters is never as good as what our volunteers do when you swing into action. To have the impact we want to have, I believe our most engaged volunteers, and that's you all, will need to make a commitment to personally asking people you know or meet in your community to email or call using the tool on their phones and to do it right there on the spot. In fact, I'm going to pause right now for just a few moments and give you a chance to jot down the name of 3 people who support your CCL work that you can ask to help you. So again, just jot down 3 names of people who support your work in CCL that you could ask to help. Okay. So at your group leader meetings tonight, or wherever and whenever you're meeting with your different teams, please alert people to this campaign and why we're having it. Give people at your meeting 5 minutes to do it right there themselves, pull up the landing page and contact their senators right during the meeting. If they've already done that, they can use the 5 minutes then to work on their list of people that they know who might do the same thing. And then next, ask people to publicly share their personal goal for how many people they'll get to contact their senators, and ask people to share their success stories. Our targets are ambitious because they need to be at this strategic moment in time. And I don't think we'll get there without our volunteers multiplying their own impact by getting 1, 2, 10, or 20 other people to contact their senators with you. It's also really helpful for senators to hear from new people, not just the CCL volunteers that they're used to. And that's particularly important for the Democratic senators now that the budget reconciliation is becoming the most likely path forward for us. We need every single Democrat to be willing to have carbon pricing in the big package. But it certainly won't hurt for Republican senators to hear from their constituents that you want carbon pricing in order to keep America competitive. It might lessen their opposition and could build towards eventual support, as Danny talked about. So I'm going to tell you my personal goal. I've set a personal goal of getting 25 people besides myself to contact my senators in the next 3 weeks. I happen to live in a left-leaning district with lots of people who are worried about the climate, and my neighbors are constantly asking me how my work is going. So I think I can do this. And now I'm going to practice in front of all however many hundreds of you there are. Mark is going to pretend to be my next door neighbor, who I've just run into in the hall. We've already said hello and exchanged a few pleasantries, Mark. So I'm going to move right into my request. Hey, Mark, you've always been supportive of what I do at Citizens Climate Lobby. I have a favor to ask, which you are free to say no to. It looks like the big infrastructure package that the Democrats are working on is our best shot to get a carbon tax enacted. We're doing a big push to get calls to the senators right now. And I personally pledged to find 25 people who would email or call our senators. It's pretty easy to do on a smartphone or laptop, and there's a script you can use and tweak. If you have time now, I could show you how to do it. It should only take about 5 minutes.
Madeline, I've always said I wanted to help if I can. I can't do it right now, but I could do it this evening.
Well, that works for me, Mark. How about at 8 tonight? We could sit at your dining room table and do it together.
Okay. And you know I've never done this before, Madeline.
Well, then it's extra special, Mark, that you're helping me. It'll be fun to do together. See you at 8.
See you at 8.
Thanks, Mark. All right. So there's three things I want to highlight in this role play. First, I picked someone who already likes what I'm doing, so that I probably wouldn't have to spend a lot of my precious time persuading him. Second, the phrase, "I have a favor to ask, which you are free to say no to," is deliberately chosen based on research. As I'm sure you're aware, most people don't like to feel put on the spot. When that happens, they naturally get defensive and put up walls. And I suspect that keeps many of you from even wanting to ask your friends to call Congress. But according to researchers, if you include some version of saying, "but you are free to say no," so that then they feel less likely, or they're less likely to feel that they don't have a choice, then it turns out that people are more than twice as likely to say yes to your request. So include, "I have a favor to ask, which you are free to say no to." And then lastly, notice that I didn't leave Mark to do it alone. By doing it together, I make sure he has whatever help he needs, that he doesn't forget. Mark never forgets, does he? And I know for sure that I got one person closer to reaching my goal. And of course, I set a specific time so both of us would be more likely to follow through. So now, look back at the three names you wrote down earlier. You're free to say no, but are you ready to commit to asking them to help you reach your state's goal? I hope so. I think it would still be hard for me to get to 25 people doing it one by one this way, although I do have 3 weeks. So I have an additional plan. I looked at my calendar and I have 2 social events coming up that'll have lots of sympathetic climate people there. So I'm planning to ask the people there to also help me reach my goal and do it while we're hanging out at the event. And then as a last resort, if I get to the last Saturday of the campaign period and I still haven't met my personal goal, I'm going to find a buddy in my chapter and go down to our farmer's market with a sign and a clipboard and work the crowd there. So whatever you and your teams figure out, I encourage you to share ideas and successes on CCL Community. We need to keep each other going on this. So thank you for all of your attention here. We focused on the grassroots campaign today. Our social media people are going to be pushing this out also. So those of you on social media can share it with your circles and work that way. And we'll be working up a campaign very soon aimed at community leaders. But in the meantime, it's completely fine to ask your local endorsers to contact their senator also using that landing page. You know, folks, we've been building up to this moment in history for such a long time. So let's give it everything we've got. But I'm going to give you the last word. We're going to use Polly V's word art again, like we did right before the call started, before we open it up to questions. So for just a moment, think about us achieving together more than 10,000 calls nationwide by August 11th. I love these words. Powerful, finally, inspired, hopeful, momentum. Yeah. Passing, power, challenged, reduced, thrilled, carbon. Yeah. So I think we're going to turn this over now to Mark to moderate the questions that are in Poll EV. So this is also where you put your questions.
Yeah, I'll start at the top, which is, I'm going to direct this towards Danny and Madeline, depending on if both of you want to answer this. How will CCL fit environmental justice into the carbon pricing push for the reconciliation bill?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about this through the lens of the SOFA bill, the Save Our Future Act by Senator Whitehouse. And as a lot of people in our organization who ask questions like this know, this is a bill that does a lot for environmental justice, that consulted a lot of environmental justice organizations in the crafting of that bill. And the dynamic that went on that I'd like to talk about is when we call an environmental justice organization, they don't necessarily call back. It depends on whether or not we've built a good relationship through showing up, through service, if we've proven that we can be there, if there's trust there. If not, we don't vote in Congress. When Senator Whitehouse calls them, he votes in Congress. And so they answered. And so I think that in response to this, that dynamic is going to play out again. It's really up to the senators who are doing this to make those calls to get that. It's our role, Citizens Climate Lobby, to make sure that the climate message is brought forward. So I think that for this, I think Senator Whitehouse, for example, is on both the Budget Committee and the Finance Committee. Through reconciliation, this will go through Finance. Senator Whitehouse is the one who's making those calls. He's got the Save Our Future Act. I think that environmental justice is going to be well considered in the designing and implementation, should we get there, of a reconciliation bill that includes a carbon price.
Given that it's a big package, there's room for a lot of things in there, and a lot of things will be in there. So our particular job in CCL is to get the carbon price into it. But I am really confident that there will be environmental justice provisions in there also, just because so many things are going into that package. And Danny, great. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but that's my thought.
I think that's right.
Okay, next question. Isn't there already a clean electricity standard in the reconciliation bill? Danny.
Yeah, there is, but as my daughter likes to say, when presented with ice cream and chocolate, why not both? So there's no reason why you can't have both a clean electricity standard and a carbon price. And so why not both? Yes, there's a clean electricity standard in there. You can have both. There are questions about whether or not a clean electricity standard is reconcilable. A $15 minimum wage in the first reconciliation package to pass this year that is struck, or something that is so essential to that it won't function without it, is struck at the last moment. So I do think that it's going to be important to work on something that is clearly reconcilable, a carbon price.
Madeline, I'm going to point this in your direction. We're asking people to both make phone calls and emails, and the question is one more effective than the other?
Yeah, I've had that conversation with Ben and Danny. So in general, calls get more notice because they kind of interrupt the flow in the office when the phone is ringing. And so calls we consider to be more effective. However, they count all the contacts, and our goal is to have it reported. And we do know from experience that people email much more easily than they do call. So our goals are set for calls and emails jointly. And you know, if you can make a call, prioritize that. But either one will help this campaign.
Great. And Danny, the question before that was, when will reconciliation happen? And the truth is, nobody knows. But what's your best estimate of when, Danny?
Yeah, well, let's talk through this. What is reconciliation? What does that mean? Well, the Budget Committee needs to report instructions to the different committees. And those instructions are very high level, like we got in the plan last week. And they just say, this committee must raise X amount of money, or this committee will spend Y amount of money. And really, that's it. And the committee gets to decide that. And then once the committee has written that legislative text, then that's when the reconciliation happens. So this 6 weeks is happening as the committees are figuring this out. And then you have the actual reconciliation after they've reported all those findings out. And that is going to be probably a messy and extended process. So that's reconciliation. So right now we're in the first process where the committees are figuring it out and they need to report everything out. That's leading up to the reconciliation. So it's still going to be a while, but the point, what we're hearing from Senate offices where they're most receptive to input like a carbon price, that is now as the committees are doing their work.
Great, Danny. Thank you. Next question from Madeline. How can we find out our goal for our state? Madeline, can you just say a little bit about the process of what the regional coordinators, state coordinators, et cetera, are doing here?
Sure. So Ben made his estimate of what he thought would be effective with each Democratic senator. And the RCs and SCs looked at that and either accepted it or modified it according to what they thought was right. And the RCs and SCs did the same thing with the Republican senators. And the goal will be right there in the email that everybody in your state receives tomorrow, if all goes according to plan, around 10 a.m. If for some reason you don't find that email, you can find out from your RC because they have access to the spreadsheet.
Okay, great. Brett, I'm going to stick down a couple because I think this is an important one for Dan to answer. During the campaign, are we only supposed to contact our senators a single time, or can we email, call multiple times, say once a week? Is there a problem if we contact, email, call our senators more than one time regarding carbon pricing?
Yeah, great question. We want you to contact each senator once. That's it. Because they can track whether, you know, the monthly calling campaign, we want repeated calls over a long period of time. But for this such a compressed time frame, call them once. Spend that extra energy that you would have calling them a second time. Call a friend. Call somebody in your family. Get them to call. That, in this 3 weeks, is going to be a better use of your time than calling the same office again.
Okay, well, listen, everybody, there will be plenty of chance to get questions answered in the forums on community. So there will be, you know, there's obviously a lot more questions than we're going to get here today, but there will be plenty of chances for you to do this. We've spent a lot of time briefing the state coordinators, so they'll be able to also be a great resource for you also. And again, thank you for making yourself available in very, very short notice. This is a big moment, people. We've always been an action-oriented organization, and we are, you know, we're kicking it up like 16 notches now. I'm asking friends and family members that I've never asked to do something for this organization and for our planet, for that matter, to do something this time, because this time is really important. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you're going to do. Let's go get it, people. Thanks, everybody.
KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. All right, you've been listening to Citizens Climate Lobby Strategy Meeting. Please email your and call your favorite senator, Republican or Democrat, and tell them we need a tax on carbon. Coming up at 5 is 80 Grit. At 6 is our youth radio project. Support independent media. All right, yeah, you know, we've got to get out from under the spell of fossil fuels. We may like what they do, but it's kind of a poison paradise that we live in. Got to get out of this relationship that we have with fossil fuels. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
you see? I'm calling. A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling. There's no escape. I can't wait. I need a hit. Baby, get me in. You're dangerous. I'm loving it.
People, not because they're trying to cut in on our action, just because they're brown. Now, you probably noticed I don't feel about that war the way we were told we were supposed to feel about that war, the way we were ordered and instructed by the United States government to feel about that war. You see, I tell you, my mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command. Not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. Zero. Nope. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country, who in the case of the Persian Gulf War were nothing more than unpaid employees of the Department of Defense, and who most of the time function as kind of an unofficial public relations agency for the United States government. So I don't listen to them, I don't really believe in my country, and I gotta tell you folks, I don't get all choked up about yellow ribbons and American flags. I consider them to be symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded. Now, to balance the scale, I'd like to talk about some things that bring us together. Things that point out our similarities instead of our differences. Because that's all you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare the middle class. Keep them showing up at those jobs.
We'll be right back.
you could be willing to consider becoming a volunteer. There are several areas: programming, news and public affairs, production, promotion, and fundraising. You can